You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, rising temperatures in Wisconsin are causing shorter winters, hotter summers, and some economic problems, too. We'll talk to a scientist about where climate change is being felt the most here in the state. First, there's a special immigrant status for victims of certain violent crimes, including domestic violence and sexual assault. It's called the U non-immigrant status, and it's commonly referred to as a U visa. Advocates say these visas allow victims to work, drive, and leave an abuser, which could literally save lives. There's one problem, though, the wait list. The wait to be approved for a U visa can take anywhere from 3 upwards to 10 years. The immigration status was created under the Violence Against Women Act, and it's funded until next year. Some advocates say they're worried that the funding would end or be slashed under the current administration. Robin Dalton is a senior immigration attorney at Rise Law Center in Madison. It's a nonprofit focusing on family and immigration law. Robin, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, first, tell us, please, what is this U visa, this U non-immigrant status?
Okay, so the U non-immigrant status, it was established in 2000 under the Trafficking Victims and Protection Act, and basically it was created with a dual purpose. So the first purpose was to provide a humanitarian relief to victims of crime who suffered either substantial physical or mental harm, but it was also used as a tool for law enforcement to help create a safer community through requiring cooperation in the investigation related to the crime.
And who would qualify to apply for this status?
There's generally three factors. So the first, again, is proving that the person is a victim of a qualifying crime. The crime is generally a crime that's violent in nature and often involves physical violence. The person also has to have information about the crime and have been helpful to law enforcement. And additionally, they have to prove that they've suffered substantial mental or physical abuse as a result of the criminal activity.
And to be clear, these are crimes that have taken place in the borders of the United States. This is not something for someone who's been a victim of a crime in another country to seek status here. Is that right?
Yep. It has to be done within the borders of the United States, or it could be somewhere where U.S. has jurisdiction, like a military base, for example.
And what is the application process like then?
So the application process right now is really long, but just to start off, before you even file an application, each applicant has to provide their own account of the crime that occurred. This is something that oftentimes is really difficult and can re-traumatize victims of crime, as it might be the first time they're really writing down and divulging all of the details of the abuse that they suffered as a result of the crime. Additionally, each application has to include a signed certification, which is an immigration document that law enforcement signs off on, in which they, again, are reiterating that this person was a victim of a crime, that they helped in the cooperation, and that it was traumatic to them. This certification is something that is discretionary, so not every agency will sign off on it. And without the certification, the applicant can't apply, just like without their personal statement, they can't apply. And then beyond these two things, which are mandatory, there's a whole host of other documents and information gathering to get the application together. So typically, once we're filing an application, it's well over 100 pages just for this one application.
And I know there are a variety of people who might apply for this, but it sounds like a common case might be someone who's been a victim of domestic abuse or domestic violence and who might be expected to be reluctant to report a crime to the police for fear of deportation. And in some cases, maybe the perpetrator even held out that threat to keep that person from reporting the crime. Is that a fairly common use of this visa?
Yeah, I would say more often than not, our clients are either victims of sexual assault or domestic violence. And oftentimes, yes, the perpetrators of the crime use their immigration status against them. So knowing that if somebody's undocumented or underdocumented, that they might have an increased fear of actually reporting to law enforcement, and oftentimes abusers will take advantage of that to perpetuate crimes against undocumented or underdocumented persons.
We're talking to Robin Dalton from the Rise Law Center in Madison, looking at the U visa, the U non-immigrant status, and a growing wait list for this status. Robin, can you talk about that? Why are we seeing a wait list growing in the United States?
So when Congress established the Trafficking and Victims Protection Act of 2000, they set the cap at 10,000 U-Visa applications that could be adjudicated per year. And actually, when I first started doing this work, you couldn't even get a U-Visa, although it had already been in law for nearly 10 years, because they just hadn't created a process for it yet. So the first almost 10 years is you don't see any of these. And then around 2009, you start getting the U-approvals, and those start maxing out almost immediately. So in the first few years where U-Visas were available, we would see people getting their approvals or denials, their decisions, within about a year, oftentimes much less than a year, like 8 months, 9 months. And now what we're looking at is when somebody actually applies, they're waiting about 3 to 4 years to see if they're even approvable. If they are approvable, they're put on a wait list, but they won't get a full approval till about 10 years after their application is filed. And the reason for this is simply because since there's only 10,000 that are allowable per year, and currently there's over 100,000 processing, just mathematically, we can't make it go any quicker.
And there wasn't that wait list at first. It was handled in a few months. Is it just a backlog slowly grew, or was there a change somewhere along the way that slowed things down?
A backlog slowly grew initially, and then it just skyrocketed over the last probably 4 years. It's just absolutely skyrocketed. So it started, there was a lot of applications sort of in process, because like I said, for that first almost 10 years, they weren't granting U-Visas, so there were people applying, but it was also a relatively unknown or underused option within immigration because there wasn't a process in place. Once the process was actually put into place, more people started feeling comfortable coming forward and affirmatively filing something with immigration. Because it's really scary, right, for somebody who already might have a fear of law enforcement and a fear of immigration to just affirmatively give their information to an immigration agency. But once people started seeing like, oh, hey, this is something that's safe, these are getting granted, these are getting worked on, more and more people started applying, and also more and more attorneys, accredited reps, and legal services agencies became aware of this option.
And can you talk about what it means for an applicant to have that waiting period go from months to potentially a decade?
Yeah, so it is just really heartbreaking. Applicants are waiting for an excruciatingly long time. Some people say, oh, if it's going to be 10 years, I don't even know if I want to apply. I don't know that it's worth it, especially if they're paying, you know, high attorney's fees at some places. It also means that while this application is pending, there's no ability to apply to travel outside of the United States. So oftentimes, survivors are forced with making really difficult decisions. We get phone calls from clients who ask if they should leave the United States when they have either a parent or a child who's just really sick, terminally ill, or has just passed away. And I don't really have a good answer for this because I always advise my clients, it's really up to them. There's no guarantee that they'll be able to come back into the United States until there's a decision on their application. And obviously, if it's not approved, then it could be that they are never allowed to come back in. And so there's really tough choices to make for people now that the processing times are so long.
Now, this backlog, it sounds like, was in place before Donald Trump was elected president. He, of course, had talked a lot about immigration restrictions. Has he changed the landscape for these U visas?
At this point, no. There was already a backlog ahead of time. It has continued to grow and grow and grow. There isn't a specific policy that he's made specifically to U visas. But there are a lot of policies that have changed for survivors of domestic violence, sexual assault, or other violent crimes. So, for example, previously, if somebody applied for a U visa and if for any reason they came on to ICE's radar, ICE would really use their discretion and look at enforcement priorities that were set by the prior administration and say, okay, if you're a victim of domestic violence, sexual assault, that you're not an enforcement priority, so we don't need to try to remove you from the United States, you know, immediately. So what would happen is if they saw that somebody had a U visa application pending, or even if they didn't, but they saw that they were a victim of crime, they might say, let's wait, you know, give them the opportunity to apply for this visa, and if they're approved, then we'll go ahead and terminate any deportation or removal proceedings. Now what's happening is oftentimes ICE jurisdictions are pushing for the deportation or removal of e-visa applicants.
And as we wrap up, Robin, are there changes that you think could help with this backlog?
Yeah, so probably the best and most impactful change would be to remove or at a minimum raise the 10,000 cap on U-visas. This would help with the backlog, and so this would help applications process much quicker. Things that would also be helpful but definitely not as highly important to me as raising this cap would be provision for travel for U-visa holders and applicants who are waitlisted, so that when there are these dire circumstances, there is the ability to travel without the fear that they will not be able to come back in. And then obviously just more funding for agencies that are at all levels that are serving survivors of violence. So this could be immigration adjudicators, law enforcement agencies, legal service agencies, increased protections for survivors of violence from threats of deportation, and increased social services for underdocumented survivors of violence.
Robin, thanks a lot for joining us today.
All right. Thank you.
Robin Dalton is a senior immigration attorney at Rise Law Center in Madison. She joined us to talk about the U non-immigrant status, or U visa, and why there's such a long wait list.